Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 47 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
No one that has anything bad to say about Scotty. Everyone that knew him loved him.
The city of Pikeville mourns a fallen police officer.
Moorhead State is working on next year's budget.
Moorhead's mayor calls the process for a new police and fire station a three-year soap opera.
St. Clair is gearing up for its annual community giving campaign.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions held a roundtable in Lexington yesterday to discuss the nation's opioid problem.
A bill banning child marriage heads to the governor's desk.
Teachers across the state are rallying against Senate Bill 1.
In sports, March Madness is well underway.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Rain late tonight with a low around 36. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A Mount Sterling man has been in prison in western Iowa for manslaughter and attempted murder. The Daily Nonpareil reports that 36-year-old Arthur Crum expressed his regrets yesterday at his sentencing. He was given 35 years and told to pay $150,000 restitution to the family of Larry Scott. Crum pled guilty to the charges. Scott was shot to death in 2016. Crum said Scott had asked him that morning for money to buy drugs. He said Scott then pulled a gun, which they struggled over. Crum said the gun went off, and then he took the gun from Scott and shot him several times before fleeing.
A Martin County man is behind bars after police say he nearly hit a school bus while fleeing police. According to WSAZ, Jordan Stampard was taken into custody yesterday around 3 p.m. Martin County Sheriff's deputies say they were attempting to pull Stampard over when he sped away. The driver allegedly drove on the wrong side of the road and almost struck several vehicles head-on, including a school bus loaded with students. He later wrecked and attempted to flee on foot. Stampard is charged with fleeing police, second-degree wanton endangerment, speeding, and several other charges.
The city of Pikeville held a vigil for a fallen police officer last night. According to WKYT, Scotty Hamilton was shot and killed by assisting a state trooper Tuesday evening. Many of Hamilton's fellow officers were in attendance. Officer Tony Kahn says it's been a hard week for the entire department.
I trained him, and I was out the night he was deceased. I was out that night on duty. We just ate dinner, and about 30 minutes before he got shot, he meant a lot to everybody here.
Kentucky State Police believe 55-year-old John Hall is responsible for the shooting. He was taken into custody near the Floyd County line yesterday following a lengthy manhunt and remains behind bars.
Moorhead State University administrators are busy this week hashing out a budget for the next fiscal year. With no pension or budget agreements passing in the state legislature so far, the university has to proceed by anticipating a $4.5 million deficit. MSU President Jay Morgan says besides the state budget, a big part of the equation for the university lies in the increased cost for employee pensions.
Unless we got some type of pension relief, that we would have to look at some limited contracting. The new pension rates, nobody in the state can pay those pension rates.
Morgan says the lack of a pension agreement is weighing heavily on all state universities, but he is hoping that the last days of the regular session will pose a better outlook for Moorhead State.
While he admits that acquiring the property for the city's new police and fire station has been like a three-year soap opera, Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent believes local residents will eventually see that the process was worth it. Trent says identifying the right site for the facility near downtown has been complicated. He notes that one that city officials had picked for it meets all of the necessary requirements.
You can't put out RFPs for buildings. You can't do anything for architectural design, anything, until you have clear ownership of the property to show us exactly what we can do. Because there were some other easements that need to be taken care of. There was a utility that we had to work with. We got that taken care of early on. And so, we're just going through this pace. And when it's all explained in the end, this will be one of the best values that the city's been able to obtain in property.
Trent estimates the city officials reviewed 20 potential sites for the new police and fire station. He hopes the purchase of its land can be finalized next month, with construction to begin later this year. The total cost of the project is expected to be between $4 and $5 million.
Moorhead Fire Chief Jeff Anderson says progress continues to be made on his department's new ladder truck. Anderson says he recently spoke to officials from the company that is constructing the $1.1 million vehicle.
Pieces of it just left the paint booth, and it was starting to be assembled. As far as the fire department, we'll probably make a trip up to Dublin, Ohio, up around Columbus, and probably next month, late next month, about halfway into the production of it. And scheduled right now is probably August, is somewhere around August. That's what we're believing for to be completed.
The city earlier approved the financing plan for the fire department's new ladder truck. The new vehicle will replace the nearly 40-year-old truck the MFD is currently using, which breaks down often, and finding replacement parts has become problematic.
The Foundation for St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead will be starting its annual community giving campaign in the next couple of weeks. Local residents will be asked to help SCR offset some of its expenses, including the millions of dollars it spends annually on charity care for those who can't afford to pay for the services they receive from the hospital. Foundation Executive Director Tom Lewis says the theme for this year's campaign is I Give.
And focusing a bit on trying to get people to think about why they support the organizations and the charities that they do, and looking at some hopefully personal, legitimate reasons for supporting the St. Clair Foundation and everything that St. Clair does for Moorhead, Rowan County, and this entire region.
Lewis says the goal for this year's community giving campaign is to raise $250,000 by the end of June.
Kentucky Power is seeking a buyer after receiving authorization from the Public Service Commission to sell up to 200,000 tons of high-sulfur Appalachian coal to cut fuel costs for customers. KP is co-owner of and serves the Mitchell plant in West Virginia. They purchase coal from the Consolidation Coal Company through a long-term contract ending in 2022. Allison Barker is the spokesperson for KP. She says the coal they're under contract for in 2018 would actually supply more coal than needed for the plant.
We asked the Public Service Commission for permission to sell the excess up to 200,000 tons. If we find a buyer for that, the savings would be passed on to customers through the fuel adjustment clause.
If costs are charged as a direct pass-through through the fuel adjustment clause, customers would see the money from any coal sold reflected on their bills in reduced fuel costs.
King's Daughters Medical Center has become a member of the UK Markey Cancer Center affiliate network. WMKY's Jack Caudill reports.
The network is the state's only National Cancer Institute designated cancer center. Announced Thursday, the membership allows KDMC to provide their patients in eastern Kentucky, southern Ohio, and West Virginia access to additional specialty care. That includes clinical trials and advanced technology, as well as the added benefit of being close to home for the majority of their treatments. According to the Daily Independent, they will also be able to receive input from the network while having access to new research. KDMC's oncologist and hematologist, David Goble, says this will give them more community outreach and improve education. For WMKY News, I'm Jack Caudill.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 35th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 25th through 29th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
Dozens of Kentuckians were at the Lexington office of U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell on Wednesday, asking the lawmaker to push forward on legislation designed to spur economic development through projects that reclaim abandoned mines. The Reclaim Act bill would release $1 billion from the federal Abandoned Mine Land Fund to aid in the projects. Larry Miller, a former Western Kentucky coal miner, says the measure's passage would help communities struggling with the decline of the coal industry.
It takes some development, and it's not an immediate fix. It's not the entire piece of the puzzle for rural Kentucky, but it's a step forward. And having been in the mines for a long time, and I know what it's like to get laid off, and the more opportunities we can have in our coal communities, the better we'll be. Kentucky's a poor state, and we need all the help we can get.
Over 11,000 coal jobs have been lost in Kentucky over the last 9 years. Supporters say this is the best opportunity to pass the Reclaim Act, since Congress must approve part of the appropriations bill before March 24th. If the bill passes, the state would receive an estimated $100 million.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions held a roundtable meeting in Lexington yesterday. He believes the death toll of opioid overdoses will rise from the 2016 numbers. He talked to over 10 families who were affected by the opioid epidemic to better understand the issue and to help stop the opioid problem here in Kentucky.
We have to put an end to this crisis so that more families don't go through what they have endured.
According to Spectrum News Pure Politics, Kentucky is one of the hardest hit states, with over 1,400 people dead from overdoses in 2016 and over 5,800 dead in a four-year span.
A bill restricting child marriages in Kentucky has been unanimously passed by the House and now heads to the governor's desk. Senate Bill 48 would ban all marriages containing a member 16 years old or younger. The bill would allow 17-year-olds to get married with parental consent and only if they can prove to the judge they possess the, quote, maturity and capacity for self-sufficiency, end quote. This includes having a job and housing for at least 3 months, plus a high school diploma or equivalent degree or job training certificate. There is currently no age limit on marriage in Kentucky.
Teachers throughout the Commonwealth are still holding rallies against Senate Bill 1, which reforms Kentucky's pension system. According to WKYT, the walk-ins continue after Governor Bevin told a radio station that protesters want, quote, more than their fair share and are throwing a temper tantrum. Among other things, the bill would cut cost of living adjustments by 33% for retired teachers. Steve Green is a teacher at Frederick Douglass High School in Lexington.
When all of us started as educators, we were promised a specific pension, and the government has not done their fair share in supporting that. It comes out of our paycheck every single time, and they have not funded their portion of it.
Supporters say Senate Bill 1 would save Kentucky taxpayers $3.2 billion over 20 years. Kentucky's pension system is one of the worst funded in the country.
A bill that increases penalties for gang recruitment passed the House Thursday and will head to the Senate. Specifically, House Bill 169 would make it a felony for adults who now face misdemeanor charges for criminal gang recruitment to engage in that crime. It would also allow members of criminal gangs who recruit minors to face felony charges after a first offense. KET streamed the vote online, where Grayson Republican Representative Jill York said stricter laws are needed.
We are importing our problems. We are importing it with gangs. We are importing the drugs that are killing citizens here. The urban-rural divide gets very narrow on this issue, and that is the reason that I vote yes today, because of the traffickers of heroin, fentanyl, and all sorts of bad killing poisons that are coming into Kentucky, and they are coming in the guise of gangs.
Opponents of the bill say the bill will target minorities and cost the state $19 million to implement. House Bill 169 now heads to the Senate for consideration.
Over objections from Kentucky's Democratic Attorney General, GOP lawmakers took another step yesterday towards limiting how much outside attorneys can earn when hired by the state. Supporters say the bill aims to maximize the amount from a settlement or judgments that benefit those hurt by transgressors' actions. Attorney General Andy Beshear's office says the limits could hamper recruiting outside attorneys whose expertise can help win large awards for the state. In those cases, the contingency fee would be a good trade-off. The bill would set limits on contingency fees paid to outside lawyers. Those attorneys don't get paid unless they win the lawsuit. They sign a contract with the Attorney General's office that guarantees them a certain percentage from a settlement or judgment. The proposal would apply to future contracts. If it becomes law, those fees would be capped at 20% of a settlement or judgment up to $10 million. the percentages would shrink for amounts above $10 million.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area tonight, there's a 60% chance of showers late, increasing clouds overnight with lows around 37. On Saturday, there's an 80% chance of showers with highs near 45. On Saturday night, there's a 60% chance of showers early at night, partly cloudy with lows around 31 degrees. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's currently sitting at 45 degrees in Flemingsburg and Winchester. It's 46 degrees in Ashland, 49 degrees in Inez, and it's 48 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff goes low-tech while he answers some good old-fashioned snail mail.
The mailbag is back, and it's a sack full. Dear John, spring is coming, and I've been looking at my bicycles. They're in the shed next to the Christmas stuff right now. Lots of rust and not much chrome showing. What can I do? I like a shiny bike. Signed, Frank Capusta, Phillips, Wisconsin, a web listener. Oh, dear Frank, I know how that goes. When the metal stays cold during one of these warm, damp spring teaser days, the bike sweats like a con man in a confessional. Nothing beats an SOS pad, the blue ones, no imitations, and generous quantities of elbow grease. Been my go-to since 1970. Yes, quick glow is great, but just try to find some. Hey, Mr. Smarty Pants Professor. So much for higher learning. How can you explain the epidemic of censorship that has been breaking out on campuses all over the country? All of these people took speech classes, looks like, so where did you go wrong? Signed, Sammy DeMio, Addison, Kentucky. Dear Sammy, my pants aside, we've got to grant the freedom to speak to everyone, and that includes people who are saying that no one should have to listen to us say that. From the cave, to the court, to the coffeehouse, to the commons of social media, we've been bothering the daylights out of one another. Problem lately seems not to be that acrimony is happening, but that people seem to think they invented it. What would worry you more? People fighting about what is right, or people not fighting about it? As for speech codes, a quick study shows how well they tend to fare in court. Modaff, someone told me the other day that you can use Velcro to catch gar. Is that right? Sounds like a bunch of fishy stuff to me. Signed, M.W. of Angler's Lick. Dear M., you are right to be skeptical of the hack when they put it that way, but if you peel it apart and set aside the hard piece, the fuzzy side does indeed make a super snag for a gar. Question is, how do you make it taste like supper? Okay, we're running out of time, so let's get just to answers. For the gang out in Elbow, Kentucky, who've been pestering Virgil with questions about bicycle-operated water pumps, just get on your horses and come to Lower Lick Fork, and we'll show you how that's done. To Max from Winfield, you can use a broom for that, but keep a bucket of water close by. To Ziggy, Beets, Anchovy, and Madeline, all of St. Cloud, yes, no, probably, and vegetarians aren't haters. They just don't like meat. I'm John Modaff.
It's 4:49 and 48 degrees here in Morehead. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Ellen Barnett, and we're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
The madness continues. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The last games of the first round of the NCAA 2018 College Basketball Championship is underway at the moment. Right now, Arkansas is losing to Butler 36-31, Nevada is beating Texas 19-14, and it's the Tar Heels under Lipscomb 65-51. In some completed games of the day, Cincinnati won their game with Georgia State 68-53, Purdue won their game with CSU Fullerton 74-48, Wichita lost to Marshall 81-75, and it was Texas A&M over Providence 70-60. There are eight more games tonight. Murray State is playing its first round game of the NCAA tournament right now out in San Diego. Coach Mike McMahon's 12th-ranked Racers are in the East Regional action against West Virginia, a high-energy team that he knows will challenge Murray at both ends of the floor.
You see all the credit they get for their defense and press Virginia and all that, and deservedly so. They're also one of the top 20 offenses in the country, too. So they have great balance, and that's why they're a top 20 team in America.
Currently, the 26-5 Racers are losing 18-15. Murray came in today's game with the Mountaineers riding a 13-game winning streak. Kentucky is getting ready for a quick turnaround after last night's narrow victory over Davidson in their NCAA tournament opener. The 18th-ranked Wildcats will meet upstart Buffalo tomorrow at 5:15 in Boise, Idaho. While calling UK's 78-73 victory over Davidson a good win, Coach John Calipari says the Big Blue took too many plays off, and the Cats will have to be more consistent if they want to keep dancing.
You're going to have to play more of a well-rounded game. You cannot have three bad minutes, because you'll be down 12. Now you're down 12, you can't come back in this kind of tournament, because those teams make free throws. They're good defensive teams, or they wouldn't still be playing. They're tough rebounding teams. You can't have 3 minutes of a breakdown.
Buffalo, meanwhile, is coming off of one of the most stunning victories on day one of the NCAA tournament. The Bulls shocked fourth-ranked Arizona 89-68. The Morehead State basketball coach Preston Spradlin and his assistants are focused on recruiting some additional players for the Eagles' 2018-19 roster. At this point, Spradlin says MSU has two scholarships it can give out.
We know we're really going to fill one of those with some size. We have some holes in our roster that we really need to add some size, and so that's our first initiative right now. And we're going to try to get that off the board, and then. You know, I'm not exactly sure what direction we want to go with that last scholarship, if we want to fill it or if we want to set on it.
The Eagles signed one player for next season in November, Mississippi High School guard Tata Strickland. Spradlin expects all 12 of MSU's current players to return next season. Third-round games of the 2018 Kentucky High School Sweet 16 tournament are being played today. In the first two games, it was Scott County 73-62 against Corbin, and Warren Central with 74 over Pikeville with 57. The other games tonight are Campbell County versus Oldham at 6:30 and Covington Catholic taking on Fern Creek at 8. The Morehead State Baseball Eagles are currently playing the first game of their doubleheader with Belmont. The Eagles won their first game 5-2. The second game will start soon. The Softball Eagles are also playing two games today. In the first game, they lost 4-0 against Toledo. They are currently tied 0-0 against ETSU. Cincinnati Reds manager Brian Price admits he's impressed by the work of catcher Tucker Barnhart. Price, who recently named Barnhart as the club's starter behind the plate, says Barnhart is not only a great defensive backstop, but also one who understands how to get the most out of whoever is on the mound.
How he relates with pitchers and how he leads pitchers down the most effective paths that are unique to each guy that he has to catch. And that his commitment to that relationship is really, I think, is what defines him as a catcher.
With Barnhart, the Reds' number one catcher, the often injured Devin Mesoraco will be his backup. The Rowan County football team begins its spring practices on Monday. Coach Kelly Ford says he'll be taking his Vikings back to school and have them focusing on the basics of the game.
We use our spring ball fundamentals because we won't have all our kids to be in their roles of what they're going to be doing during the season. But it's spring ball for us is good because it brings on the young kids, and those kids as freshmen going to be sophomores, and now they got to start getting some varsity time. And so we really stress fundamentals in the spring.
The Vikings will practice 4 days next week. They have 15 days to get in 10 workouts. And lastly in sports, the Arizona Cardinals have addressed their need for a quarterback, signing Sam Bradford on Friday. Bradford, who was drafted by the Rams in 2010, has struggled with injuries. After being named the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year in 2010, Bradford tore his left ACL. He was then traded to Philadelphia in 2015 and signed with Minnesota in 2016. Bradford missed most of the season after undergoing a surgery to repair a torn meniscus. The Detroit Lions have re-signed running back Zach Zinner, returning for his fourth season with the Lions. He joined Detroit as an undrafted free agent in 2015. And the Buffalo Bills have begun restocking their depth at running back by reaching deals to re-sign Travaris Cadet and Tywan Jones. Cadet had 6 years of NFL experience, split among five teams. He was signed by Buffalo on November 4th and appeared in 6 games before breaking his right ankle in a 37-16 loss to the New England Patriots on December 24th. Cadet had taken over the primary backup duties behind starter LeSean McCoy. He finished the season with 96 yards rushing and 119 receiving. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Baseball welcomes Belmont this weekend, tomorrow afternoon at 2 and Sunday at 1. Also this weekend, softball hosts the Eagle Classic, featuring East Tennessee State, Oakland, and Toledo. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. A slight gain today was not enough to stop stocks from heading for a loss for the week. And, of course, the markets have been weighed down by fears of a possible trade war as well as White House turmoil. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain today of 72.85 at 24,946.51. The S&P 500 was up 4.68 at 2751.83. And the NASDAQ Composite managed a small gain of 0.25 at 7481.99. In political news, of course, President Trump has reportedly decided to remove National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster from the U.S. administration. The White House has denied that any changes are set to emerge within the National Security Council. Adding to the political drama, it was reported that White House Chief of Staff John Kelly also could depart the administration as early as today. Fears that the Chief of Staff could be on his way out were kept at bay, however, after a later report said Trump and Kelly settled on a temporary truce. In economic news, the Commerce Department said housing starts declined 7% in February, which was a bigger-than-expected fall. Building permits, meanwhile, fell 7.7% last month, and consumer sentiment rose to a level not seen since 2004 here in the month of March, according to a preliminary reading from the University of Michigan. Meanwhile, the Labor Department said job openings increased to 6.3 million in January, which is a record. In corporate news, Adobe reported better-than-expected quarterly earnings, sending its stock up more than 3%. And in the commodities markets, oil was up 1.8% at $62.29 a barrel, while gold was down 0.3% at $1,313.50 an ounce. And in Europe, stocks managed a small gain, with the Stock 600 index up 0.2%. Most Asian markets fell, with the Nikkei down 0.6% and Shanghai down 0.5%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were Walmart and American Express, while the worst performers were Nike and United Technologies. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Ulta Beauty and Bright House Financial, while the worst performers were Tiffany and Broadcom. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $2.50 at $74.72, CSX up 17 cents at $56.92, AEP up 78 cents at $67.77, AK Steel up 19 cents at $5.12, Marathon Petroleum up $1.05 at $69.68, and Kroger was up 5 cents to finish at $23.68. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Taking one last look at your weather, there's a 60% chance of showers late tonight with lows around 37. On Saturday, there's a 60% chance of showers, highs near 45. Saturday night, 60% chance of showers, partly cloudy, with a low around 31. It's currently 48 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.